And I say between quotations because for a godly person it would not be comfortable at all. But these people were religious, godless people. You know, may I go just one step further or one step closer to our situation nowadays? They were Gentiles. As much as they were the seed of Abraham, as much as they were the children of Israel that received the blessing and the promise and so on, they were that only according to the flesh, but in their spirit, in their mind, in their heart, they were, these high priests and priests, the leaders, they were the children of the bloody Levi, the son of Jacob, not the Levite son of Israel. They were unregenerated, unconverted people, awful people. Now, when I say all of that, I see them almost as my twin brothers and sisters before my conversion. They were just like one of us. And so, they had gathered. I think it might be quite impressive gathering in their long robes and all the outward, supposedly, signs of godliness and dignity and so on. Pardon me. And they got together and they hear the question of the king, where Christ should be born. If they knew that Christ should be born, they knew also that he's going to be the King of Kings and the Messiah and the Savior and all the other things. And if Herod had all that information, how did he ever get the idea that he can destroy that child? Do you see the confusion of educated people, religious people, worldly people? He believed the scripture that Christ should be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But he did not believe that no matter what happened, this child is going to be the King of Kings. But he tried to kill him. How can it be? If Herod had the power to somehow prevent the prophecy to become fulfilled, then the prophecy won't be the truth, will not be real. What is there to believe then? It's either truth or lie. But I imagine that the people in those days fell into the same snare as they do today. They believe something and they explain why the rest should not be believed. How did they explain it in those days? I don't know. But I know some of the explanations nowadays. See, so many Christians that have not experienced true conversion, they combine the Bible. You know, the Bible makes me better. But I don't want to be too religious. I don't want to go too far. It's necessary for me to go to church and you know, that improves my character. What a good thing to improve the character of a sinner and let him continue in his sins. So he's going to be an improved sinner. What a privilege, you know. A murderer will be improved murderer. A thief will be improved thief, and so on. He's not going to become a new man. And that's what I think is covered under the words of the prophet of old. He said, all your righteousnesses are like a filthy rag. Well, in any case, they told Herod what's going to happen, and Herod decided two methods. I think he's a classical example of a ruler, a king, a governor. You know, he's acting. He's on the stage. He's pretending. Well, let's be open. He's a liar. He's an evil man. And he said, let's not skip this. The scribes and the priests answered to Herod the king, that Christ should be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." I would encourage you in your spare time to follow the reference and see who said, who proclaimed this prophecy, and in what words, and then consider the differences. Why is this prophecy recorded here in such condensed way, and why are there some seeming differences between the original declaration or prophetic statement when we compare it with this one here? But in any case, this was the answer. I wonder if these priests and scribes believed the scripture, or they are faced with the question of the king and they don't want to appear as ignorant people. They need all the honor and recognition of educated religious leaders. And yet, it's risky. For the unbelievers, especially religious unbelievers, it's very risky to make a statement and say, this is the word of God, that's how it's going to happen, and there is no turning to the left or to the right from that. It has to be this way. They said that Christ should be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is the record of the prophecy. And then they give him this statement. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Herod wants to know how big the child is, how old the child is at this time. It's very important for him. He already prepared in his mind a very treacherous, very evil, wicked plan, what he's going to do. And then he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." One thing, you know that Satan is very crafty in his intentions, but often I think that he is awfully stupid. Why did not Herod send a unit of soldiers with the wise men? And they could have done exactly what he wanted to do, to destroy, to kill that child. I think that he wanted to do everything very secretly, very kind of covered up. Maybe some other reason. But I think that the Lord had his program that was different than the plan of Herod. So, what Herod perhaps planned to do secretly had to be done publicly, to manifest, to demonstrate his bloody character, his evil intentions. And so he asked the wise men to come back or to send him the message or somehow to let him know where the child is, because he's burning with the desire to worship this child also. Amazing. So, when they heard the king, they departed. It doesn't say that the wise men were really excited about king's attitude. You see, these wise men seem to be quite wise. They don't say what they think and what they feel right away. They just keep quiet and observe everything. And I imagine that they read, that they perceived what is behind the mask on the face of Herod, what is in his mind, in his heart. So they departed without saying anything. And as they left the palace of Herod, the star which they saw in the east went before them. Now, what happened to the star in the meantime? Where was the star? Did this star lead the wise men from their country all the way to Jerusalem? They don't say that. We might find that in some of the stories. It seemed to be imagination of the writers. But they saw the star. That's how much they say. We have seen his star in the east. And from that vision, from the appearance of the star, they apparently draw the information that the king has been born in the land of Judea. Now where? Apparently they don't know. So they have to ask in Jerusalem. They have to stir up Herod. They have to move all the priests and the scribes and the religious people. And the news has to break forth that the child has been born, and his own people know more or less nothing about that. We remember later what the Lord said to some of the Hebrews, some of the Jews. He said, you know the signs of the weather, of the time, but you cannot see and understand the signs of spiritual things. They asked a sign from him. And then what did he say? An evil and adulterous generation. Hypocrites. They can learn so much about all other things, and yet they cannot learn the word of God. Why? Because they don't want to. They resisted. Well, today we can learn so many things. I think that if not only a car, if a bicycle appeared in the days when Herod was the king, that the people would probably think that, well, it must be a spirit. It's not real. It's not physical. It cannot be that someone would ride on two wheels, let alone one wheel. Some bicycles were like that, I read in some books. What about a car or an airplane and so on? We learn so many things and they become so usual to us. If we can learn just the basic things from the Bible, how we should live and whom we should obey and what is His will, we might not be hypocrites. We might not be that evil and adulterous generation. We might be delivered from that wickedness of our days and our times. Well, here are the wise men, and they follow the star from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. I think there is something else in this. If the star appeared in the east and they received the direction that they should go to Jerusalem or to the land of Judea, and then Jerusalem is the capital, and so that's where the main source of information should be, or there should be some evidence. If the king is born, hopefully he's in the place where the kings live. And so they follow that instruction. They have to believe it, to trust that, to rely on that, and they come all the way to Jerusalem. Once they shared their testimony, from that moment on, and once they realized that the religious leaders do not know much. They know theoretically, but it's not in their hearts. They are not guided and guarded by the truth of God. Not necessarily always, but in this case, that was the case. That was the fact. Once they realized that the king himself knows nothing about the eternal king, they go out. And then when they got out, they did not have to follow the information of the religious leaders, even though it was truth in this case. They followed the star. And the star led them to Bethlehem, and exactly to the house, not to the shack where the animals were, not to the manger. That's past. They went into a house and they found Joseph and Mary and the child. And then they get down to the ground and worship the Lord. This child is the Lord. And they presented their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, apparently three kinds of gifts. And maybe that was the reason why so many people assumed that there were three wise men. I don't know. There might have been two only. That's plural. The text here is telling us that there were more than one. But there could have been two dozen of wise men. We just don't know. I guess number three is a very attractive number and has a lot of meaning in the scripture, and perhaps the people like to use number three, and perhaps for the pictures and figures and so on, it's easier to have three than 30. You know, it would be complicated to make so many. So the fact, the truth is that we don't know. There could have been two only, there could have been any more than two. God only knows. But they presented gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I heard and read some explanations and interpretations of this and so on, that gold is indicating royal dignity and bounty, and frankincense, priestly duty, and myrrh, something that was used in balsaming, which would foretell the death of our Lord. Well, could be. Could be not. I don't know. Did he need any balsaming? I doubt that. I don't think they made a mummy of him. I don't think his body was changed in anything. It's just wrapped in that linen and soaked with perfumes, oils, and laid in the tomb. And after the resurrection, the disciples come there and they saw, and all these wrappings is there in place as it was before. It's not messed up, you see. But he disappeared. He's not there. Now, it just revealed to them that something, quote, impossible, unquote, happened. Something that no human skill or power could do. But that's the lesson by the end of this book, and I hope the Lord will allow us to get to that later. But in any case, there must be some meaning, I believe, in these gifts. But sometimes I like to be somewhat practical and simple. You know, for the trip to Egypt, they needed this poor carpenter and his wife, and they taking care of the little child, they needed some money. They needed some material values. And all of these gifts, if the wise men brought them all the way from their country to Bethlehem to present them as their gifts to the newborn king, I believe that they must have had high monetary value, and that it was a good mean of exchange, buying other things and necessities that they needed. After all, they lived as strangers in the land of Egypt for how long, you know? And so, the wise men have done what they desired. But now just think about that. How long was their trip? How important for them was to come and worship the king and present their gifts to this king that was a child? And we have no indication that the child in any visible way acknowledged understanding of this visit, meaning of this visit. But for the wise men, it was a matter of faith and commitment to God. And they came such a long way.